It's Monday, November 8th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, show number 625. Geek News Central is sponsored by GoDaddy.com, Citrix, GoToMeeting, and Infusionsoft. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Haven't I got a great show for you? A few of the articles on top tonight are Blip TV pushes past 100 million, LimeWire's back on the air, Windows Phone 7 rollout day, and pilots have been told to avoid the back scanner at airports. Okay, you know what comes next. Let's get ready. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right. I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in.
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from Albuquerque, New Mexico, via the portable podcasting studio. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. And wow, got a lot of stuff to talk to you guys about tonight, a lot of stuff to catch you up on. Glad you're here. Thanks for tuning in, of course. And I want to make a warm welcome to the Ohana, all of you that are longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for being part of the family and staying subscribed. Of course, we want to welcome listeners from 178 countries worldwide. And more importantly, if you're new to the show, make sure you get signed up for the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything I'm going to talk about today. It's sent out immediately following the show. It will contain all the show links, so that way, you, as you're listening to the show, you can basically click through the articles to check out what I've found for you. And of course, you can do that via the newsletter link on the website at geeknewscentral.com. Now, most importantly, you want to get subscribed to the podcast. You can find that subscribe link on the website at Geek News Central. You can subscribe via iTunes, Zune Marketplace, via your iPhone, via BlackBerry. However you want to subscribe, you can do it right there. Get subscribed to the RSS feed and never miss a single show of the Geek News Central podcast. Of course, we want to welcome all of the new listeners to the show. If you're new, thanks for being here and thanks for being joining the family. And I am on travel. This is our third road show of this month. And I think we're going to be, if I look at the calendar correctly, I think that I've actually got four more shows here in New Mexico before I pack up and head back to Honolulu. I fly back on the 23rd of November to go back to the studio. This has been a pretty long extended stay, but been having fun here in the city. Albuquerque is just so huge and spread out. There's always something to explore a little different every day, and I've been doing that. But hey, I tell you what, if you are watching us on the on Ustream, thanks for coming out. Of course, if you're watching on Roku, we are back in action there. I know I got a bunch of emails from folks saying, hey, we missed you, and thanks for putting a show up on Roku. So we're back up on Roku and Boxy. I just kind of finally got things dialed in on what I need to do with the portable rig on travel. And it's actually been good. And actually today we're reintroducing a TriCaster back into the system. Actually had the new TriCaster delivered here to the hotel. Came in on Saturday. Spent most of Saturday playing around with that. So got the nice high-quality video being recorded. I don't know how the stream is actually doing because I don't know what the bandwidth is supporting. So I'm pushing a pretty high bit rate out of the hotel here. So hopefully that is holding. If someone's up on chat wants to tell me what's going on, you can tell me whether or not this thing is choppy or if it's actually working out pretty good. Hey, I want to give a thank you to the sponsors, of course. And if you are looking for a domain name, GoDaddy.com is really the place to go. GoDaddy has the absolute best hosting plans on the market today. You can pick up a shared hosting plan. Absolutely. It's very inexpensive, easy to get started. And I tell you what, you can save a lot of my money by using my promo code Todd20 when you sign up for a one-year shared hosting account. You get 20% off the price of that shared hosting account. So don't be afraid to use that Todd20 code. Of course, if you're looking for .coms, use ComSale, .com Renewals, ComSale 2. Use my promo code Todd for 10% off on your orders. Of course, Geek 5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Lots of savings at GoDaddy.com. Use my promo codes by finding them at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at the show. Of course, we've got the new live website up at live.geeknewscentral.com. We'll hope you'll check that out and go over there and there's some variety of ways to connect with the show, and everything you're going to need to connect to the podcast is there at live.geeknewscentral.com. Let's talk just a little bit about the TriCaster. Can you hear it in the background? This thing, my poor little studio, it's actually about maybe 12 or 13 feet away from me here in the hotel room, and it almost sounds like an air conditioner running. It's really, really loud, and I'm really concerned about bringing it back into the small 14 by 12 studio in Honolulu. Probably going to be having to buy a hush box for the system. I'm not looking forward to doing that just because the office configuration really doesn't support one of those boxes. But this thing is a monster, and it's a full 4U rack designed to take 8 HD inputs. We're only going to be feeding it 3 HD inputs and then 2 SD inputs back in Honolulu, plus our OhanaCaster. So, you know, it's a little bit overkill, but at the same point, there was just, you know, one step from a 3-channel to an 8-channel. This is actually more than 8 channels if you talk about all the virtual inputs. But so far, I'm really pleased with this thing. And, of course, behind me, you can see the boxes that it came in and all the different stuff that I've accumulated here in the hotel room. I think the maids, they came in here and I was looking at stuff, and I said, okay, here's the deal. And it's a little bit insane, but I've got 2 good weeks here to get up to speed on this thing and use it, and hopefully it'll save me less pain when I get back to Honolulu. Hey, of course, you know, for all of you that are longtime subscribers, those of you with the show, you know, I just wanted to take just a second and really thank you guys and give you a really just an extra pat on the back for being here and being behind the show. I know the show has ups and downs, and it's just like any other thing. When you produce 625 episodes, things kind of run together from time to time. But I do appreciate you guys being here and being part of the Hana and really staying supportive. And those of you that are insiders, thank you for being insiders as well. And it really helps. It really, really does over the long term. And I don't know. I hope I didn't go off too much on the last show responding to a listener's email, but you know, this is a passionate space I'm in, and there's a lot of stressors involved. You know, doing this show is kind of my fun time where I can actually relax and not have to worry about stuff too much, but just like any other business that you're working in, things can get pretty crazy. But thanks for all of you for being here for the long haul. I definitely appreciate it. You know, we're, hard to believe that this whole journey started in 2004. And, you know, we're now going to be, you know, we're starting into our 6th year already of doing the show. And it's just one of those things. I don't want to just make you guys understand. I don't take you for granted. And I appreciate you very much. And, you know, as always, if you have feedback, and actually I'm going to change something here because I keep looking at the viewfinder. If you guys have comments on the show, feel free to, you know, email me at geeknews@gmail.com or call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Really, it's the content that I put forth is always, stuff that I've dug through to find. And if you find something that's more interesting or you have a source for some information, always forward that to me, or comments about the show is always gladly accepted. Well, on Sunday, we opened up the podcast awards for nominations. 37,000 impressions on the website was the top number for, I think it came in at about 2 o'clock this afternoon so far, that was the peak. So we're seeing huge number of nominations come in. Don't forget to tell your favorite podcasters that the podcast awards are now open and tell them to tell their audiences to get them nominated. The nominations are open through the 21st of November. And so those of you that have volunteered to help after nominations are over, I'm going to get stuff ready for you guys, because we're going to have a try to do a very fast turnaround so that we can start voting very, very quickly in the very early weeks of December. So all of you that have volunteered, I'm going to be sending stuff your way, and hopefully you can help me knock it out over the Thanksgiving weekend and actually before the 1st of December. But we'll get to that point later on. If you're watching us on the Roku, hey, make sure you rate the Blue Bearing Tech Podcast channel. Give us a 5-star. We really want that 5-star. That will really help us a lot. If you're in Albuquerque, you know, I talked to Sam on the phone a couple of days ago, and I think I'm going to do a meetup here on Friday. So if you're part of the Ohana and you live here in the Albuquerque area, or if you're within striking distance, you're in Santa Fe or even any of the outlining smaller towns, feel free. We're going to have a little meetup on Friday. I'll basically just email me, say, Todd, I'm interested, and I'll give you our meetup place. We'll pick some place and have dinner. Dinner will be on me, and come on out and we'll hang out and talk geek talk and have fun for an evening. Been on the phones all week. It's been just a really busy time to work the lines, working with sponsors and doing everything else that we do to keep this ball rolling. I do have a signed commitment by a couple of people for CES, so we do have some sponsors on board for CES. I'm really excited about that. That's something we've been working really hard. Matter of fact, we brought on a new sales gal. She's out in Boston, and Carissa is working the phones for us as well. She's doing some stuff out there, so I'm happy to bring her on board and look forward to having a longer relationship with her to work some ad deals for us on some other stuff as well. So things have been busy, but we're still marching forward for CES, and I know you guys are probably going to be sick of CES before CES even gets here, but lots of stuff moving and in a positive direction. All right, let me look at my little list here. I think I've got everything worked through, and take care of a little business here, and then we'll get right into the tech for the show so that you guys can get the content that you came for. Hey, picture this. You know, you're on the phone with a client or a colleague, and you're trying to explain something to them. You're trying to walk through a proposal. You maybe have some graphics that you're working through. And really, you know, we're all visual people. We want to be able to see stuff. And really, you know, working the phone lines, you know, that just doesn't happen. It doesn't work out real well when you're trying to describe something. So it's frustrating that they can't see what you're seeing. So this is an easy solution for that. Use GoToMeeting. If they go to GoToMeeting.com, you can hold an online meeting instantly. Basically, you go over there, you give them a little code, they log in, bam, they can see your screen, you can see theirs if you need be. You can set up a meeting in advance or right on the fly, which I've done several times in the past couple of days. You know, and really, it's just as simple as going to GoToMeeting.com. And, you know, you can show them what you're talking about and really get that point through. You don't have to get on an airplane and go someplace. It's all about the visual, you know, and really you can use their voice IP services with the service as well. So that way you don't even really have to be on a phone line. If you've got a microphone on your computer, that'll suffice and you'll be able to talk with the client. You guys know that I've used GoToMeeting for a long time. It's a part of my business arsenal, and it is. It's part of my arsenal. It's part of my tool package I pull out and go to work with every day. And as a listener of this show, you can try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code PODCAST. GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, enter the promo code PODCAST for a free 45-day free trial. That's 45 days of unlimited meetings on me. If you do a trial, send me an email. Say, hey, Todd, I started a trial, and hook you up with a nice a little gift as a way of thank you for supporting the sponsors here at Geek News Central. All right, let me go ahead and bounce into our content tonight. And I've got a nice stack of stuff. Not as much stuff as the last show. I think I was 42 or some articles on the last show, and actually I had missed a couple as we were going through stuff. But Samsung has confirmed Continuum dual display Android handset for Verizon. And this, boy, this is just all over every major tech blog today. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, except, you know, Samsung, man, they're really cranking. You look at what they're doing with Samsung IPTVs, you look at what they're doing with their tablet, you look at what's going on with their phones. You have to admit, Samsung is really kicking up their game. They really, really are. But they confirmed the phone for Verizon via Twitter, of all places. A great place to announce a product launch, I guess. But the phone will ship on November 11th for those of you who have been interested in it. And it's Samsung is billing this as the first phone with a dedicated ticker display, referring to the secondary 1.1-inch color screen below the captive touch buttons. And so there's going to be a Samsung mobile event where they're going to be shedding more light as well. But this is a phone that a lot of people have been talking about over the past week or so. Hey, are you an Evernote user? Do you use Evernote? I know that my good friend Andy McCaskey over at SDR News, he is a Evernote fanatic. And if you are, Evernote for Android has taken a huge leap forward with version 2.0. The blog over at blog.evernote.com announced today the update. And, you know, I've had Evernote loaded on my iPhone and not use it too much. But I'm looking through this. I was reading through this article today. Pretty good. It's got some cool stuff in here. And, you know, I guess I've never really become a super hardcore Evernote fan, but I know there's a lot of you that are hardcore users of the application. So definitely check it out. This is very newsworthy from a standpoint that with you can make this update to version 2.0 on the Android. Well, the iPad is soon to get its first major software update. We know that this has been a long time coming, and we expect to have it here anytime. I don't know the exact dates, but I think we're going to get it probably within the next week or so. But here's the deal. What we're going to get with iOS 4.2 for the, did I say iPhone? Excuse me, iPad. We're going to be getting a multitasking, which has already been available for the iPhone. We're going to get folders. We're going to get an email unified inbox, which would be nice. We're going to get a game center, and I haven't fully figured out what that's all about. And maybe just because I'm not a gamer, maybe this is a feature that's already on the iPhone. I don't know. But Game Center is supposed to be Apple's social gaming hub. That's going to be put out in the new update. AirPrint is going to be very cool. And this is something I'm really excited about. Probably the biggest feature that I'm really, you know, jazzed for. But AirPrint allows you to wirelessly print from your iPad. And so this is going to allow you to discover printers on the local network. So I'm just going to be kind of curious to see how that goes down, how it's going to work with printer drivers and everything else. AirPlay is going to be able to be available. This is where you're going to be able to hand off. You're watching it, let's say Netflix, on a video on Netflix on your iPad, and you walk up to your Apple, you basically go sit down in front of your big screen TV, and you turn your Apple TV on, and you'll be able to hand off to the Apple TV, and it'll pick up where the iPad left over. So there's some new features in Safari as well, so some major updates to the iPad, and look forward to those. You know, there was an article out today also talking about the significant impact that the iPad has had on notebook sales, and where finally manufacturers are starting to acknowledge that the iPad is having this really negative effect on notebook sales. I was in a meeting, when was it? I was in a meeting 2 months ago with a group of people that I'm working with here, and I was the only person that had an iPad at that meeting. I had a meeting on Friday where almost the same group of people. And, of course, I use my iPads exclusively very much in meetings. I use it to take notes and so forth. And in the same meeting with about the same parties, that had shifted. Now that there was probably 50% of the room had iPads. And so I kind of got to asking folks, why did you buy an iPad? Well, they said, well, we were kind of looking, when you were out here last time, we were looking at what you were doing with yours, and we thought it was cool, and a bunch of them went out and bought one. And I'm finding I can go a number of hours without having to use my notebook, where I can strictly use my iPad. Now, it's still not 100% for doing, it can't do proposals and that kind of stuff on it. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to do that. But for just basic email, surfing the net, doing social media stuff, Twitter and Facebook, it's perfect. It really is. And then, you know, if you get bored, you can load up a solitaire game or, you know, read the news on some of the different apps that are out there. So, as a matter of fact, I think we've got a couple of major app announcements today, but that I'll get to later in the show. But they're saying that the iPad may ship like 48 million units in the coming year, which is just completely an amazing number. It really, really is. Hey, this article on Media Week, and you know, I've been noticing as I've been surfing the net that I'm just getting inundated now with more and more and more advertising on websites, more aggressive advertising. It's popping up and overlaying. And it's almost impossible to close. I know many of you are using advertising blockers, but what they're saying over at Media Week is that the web is awash in ads. As what's happening is supply is outstripping demand, which is pretty crazy. And they're saying here in this article that the problem with web publishers is a textbook case from Economics 101, where supply is far outstripping demand, where U.S. ad impressions hit $1.3 trillion in the third quarter, a 22% increase from a year earlier, with the increase being good news and bad news, where people are clearly spending more time online, but publishers are locked in an unsustainable arms race to eke out a profitable business. And I was actually talking with Jeff, one of my team members from Raw Voice, and we're talking about strategy for Q1 for advertising and trying to figure out why more advertisers are not jumping into the new media space. And really, they're scared of the user-generated content. Many companies still are really, when it comes to user-generated content, they they kind of back away from it. And where folks that are actually setting up dedicated networks underneath dedicated brands are having a little bit more success. So it's interesting movement. It really is, and what's going on in the ad space. But you know, I noticed this. The web being awash in ads every day, and it just seems to have gotten a lot worse, and people getting a lot more aggressive in the type of advertising they're putting on their websites. So pretty cool. Well, not cool, but interesting. Interesting move. We'll see how long it's sustainable. And the thing is, when was the last time you actually clicked on a banner ad? Have you done one lately? Come on, you can be honest with me, and you can email me and tell me when was the last time. This audience is big enough. We should be able to find out. I bet you there's at least 2% of you that are in this audience that have clicked on a banner ad on some site within the last week. At least 2%, maybe 3. And you guys want to fess up who you are and why did you click on an ad? What made it interesting enough for you to do so? And what are you guys doing when you're seeing stuff online today? You know, how are you reacting to it? Kind of curious to see what most people are doing. I know we've got a lot of hardcore fans that write the show all the time and tell me what they think. Oh, if you're a new listener and you have never written the show before, I'd love to hear your opinion on online advertisements today. So geeknews@gmail.com, or you can even call into the voicemail hotline and leave your voice comment at 619-342-7365. If you're a fan of the Washington Post, the Washington Post has launched its app for the iPad today, and it's available. It combines the Post trusted reporting analysis with innovative, what they're saying in their press release here, innovative social media and sharing capabilities and award-winning multimedia to provide an immersive news experience for iPad users. How long did they work on that first paragraph? That's a good one. That was nice. Nice copywriters on that one. So anyway, if you're a Washington Post fan, it's available in the App Store now. Hey, congratulations to Blip TV for soaring past 100 million views for the first time. Blip TV, the online video startup, which has, I host a lot of media over there, especially a lot of our content that comes up from shows that we do. But the company did more than 100 million video views in October, specifically 113 million views, and they're on pace to go over 140 million views. And one thing I thought surprising here was something they said at the very bottom of this article. It said, some show producers are generating revenue on a $500,000 annual run rate for video content. And that's, he says, and that's keeping producers loyal to the company, encouraging them to make more episodes, creating more views, and thus generating more revenue for both the producer and Blip. Here's the problem. It just blows me away that they're generating this many views, because you go to the Blip's website and you can't hardly find nothing. You use their Roku app, and there's hardly anything. You know, I'm on, my content's on the Blip.tv app on the Roku as well as our own, and yet I can never hardly find any content over there. So it must be because everyone's using the EdBeds on their website and so forth. But congratulations to Blip. Good on them, and it's nice to see that they're doing well and obviously generating revenue. They've hired at least 10 sales staff people this year, and that is a big part of revenue, of having 10 salespeople. Just think about that. 10 salespeople, that's almost a third, I think, of their staff is does nothing but sales. Makes you just click your head a little bit, say, really does. Over on over on Adweek, they're talking about the Google TV and the challenges that Google TV is running up against. And all of us on this side of the fence are saying, you know, the major TV people don't get it. The major TV people on the other side are saying, no, the Google can't have it. They're going to be stealing away market share. But I disagree with the premises of this article in that Google is basically failing, and Google TV is failing. They're a big company. There's going to be some challenges, and we'll see. We'll see how this ends up flushing out. But this is all about control, folks, and Google is here to shake the tree up. And whether you like them or not, they've got a pretty big hand to be able to shake the tree pretty hard. All right, today was another top article that was all over the place. And if you've been online at all today, you probably have already heard about this. Have you heard about Rock Melt? It's a Chrome-based browser for social web addicts. And I haven't downloaded this, installed it, but basically, this thing is designed to really, for those of you that spend a lot of time on Facebook, do a lot of time on Twitter, a variety of other social media websites, this integrates Facebook into their browser with some Twitter on one side of the margins or the other. And, I've read through probably 10 different articles talking about this, and some people love it or they hate it. There really isn't a lot of people in between, but the consensus really is that they're probably going to have a hit on their hands here and are probably going to make a lot of money. But it's actually a browser that requires you to log in, which is kind of curious. You know, that we're all not used to doing that. But there's an extensive article, extensive write-up on this on ArsTechnica.com. I have this link up in the show notes for you. But again, this is, you can find the new browser at rockmelt.com. And I believe one of the venture funders on this is, where did I read it? It's one of the original Netscape authors, I believe. So anyway, I have this link up in the show notes. You guys will probably find that information. Probably don't care about the investors in the company, but they think they may have a hit on their sides. Every year, the United States government puts together a list of what they refer to as notorious markets for peer-to-peer and copyright infringement. And what it is the U.S. Trade Representative published this list for years as part of a process where they get input from the industry called the Special 301 process. And this is where intellectual property right holders actually complain and submit information to the government on basically who's stealing their material and causing them to lose money. And I went down and I was reading through this, and basically what's going on here is this list is basically kind of like a top 10 list of bad boys. And the first thing they listed on the peer-to-peer abusers, a couple of websites I've never heard of, btjunkie.org out of Sweden, Demonaut out of the Ukraine, ISOHunt out of Canada, ruttracker.org out of Russia, of course the Pirate Bay, we all know out of Sweden as well. And then a whole bunch of sites coming out of Mexico and Korea, and then some news group sites. So, and even they go after Usenet as well. So they get this list, they put it up online as the bad boys in the space. And so it's one of those things that they do every year. But it is kind of interesting that the U.S. government really goes to bat for these companies to put together this list. And there really is no private citizen input to this. But it is an interesting engagement that they do each year. We know that, I don't know how much effect it has, but basically points countries out that are being abusers as well. And the normal suspects are on it as well. But anyway, I'll have the link up in the show notes for you. You can check it out. This made the rounds on quite a few different sites as well. Hey, how many of you went out and got that new MacBook Air? Well, Apple had Toshiba make some very unique solid-state drives for the MacBook Air. And, these parts were really just designated for the MacBook Air, but now Toshiba has announced that the small outline form factors solid-state drives that were debuted in latest in Apple's MacBook Air are now available as a retail product, and it's called the Blade Xscale SSD series. So people are pretty excited about this because these sticks are now available in 64 gig, 128 gig, or 256 gig. And they're the same exact modules being used by Apple, but to the form factor, and these are so small, I think we're going to see a lot of very cool, innovative stuff coming. You know, up to this point, most of the solid-state drives have been made in the traditional drive size, so only time will tell on how this is going to be impacted. But looking at this stick, and it looks to be about the same size as a RAM chip, at least in the picture. And if you think about, you know, the size of a RAM chip, which is, you know, probably this big, you know, there's going to be some lot of innovative stuff being rolled out based on this new solid-state drive design. So cool stuff, but anyway, we'll see what happens with Toshiba on this. Hey, those of you up on Ustream, Jeffrey, how's the stream tonight? Is it holding solid? Is the audio good? Because I'm pushing a pretty heavy stream out through the system. Also, this is the first show that I've actually streamed in a 16:9 format, so this is new, and we're pretty excited about being able to bring the 16:9 format to you guys. Hey, pilots have been told by their union is to stay the heck away from the new airport scanners. In other words, the back scatter and millimeter wave scanners at airports. They say, you know, it's they're toting privacy, but they've told their members that they should refuse the new scans, together known as advanced imaging technology. And, of course, the union members aren't happy about the new pat-down procedures. But based on the information I've shared with you guys recently, the stuff that Sam has sent over to me, and actually some more stuff that listeners have sent me today, I'm going to tell you, if you get into one of those backscatter systems, I would refuse. Go get the pat down, even though it's aggressive. If you're not comfortable with someone touching you, then obviously, you know, you're going to probably have to be forced to go through that thing. But basically, this is huge. This is huge. Dave Bates, head of the Allied Pilots Association, which represents American Airline pilots and claims to be the largest independent pilot group in the world, told their members they should refuse the new scans. This is huge. You know, a union basically saying no. And I will say that the article that's being linked here into this, it has some pictures that I would deem not safe for, well, it doesn't leave anything to imagining. That's all I can tell you based on what they're showing here. And yeah, they definitely can see all the way through your clothes, if you get what I mean. Hey, companies that, how many of you, this is really, let me back up. Those of you that are own Macs, you'll know that a lot of the Mac developers will bundle their software into packages where you get six or seven small apps for a certain price. App developers, or software developers for the Mac, have some mixed feelings about the new Mac App Store. They're feeling that it could have a positive or negative impact to their bottom line, in that Apple is going to make them unbundle. All these apps are going to have to be put up one by one, which I think, you know, either one, it's going to drive the price down, or two, they're going to actually be able to demand a little more money. But they're a little bit worried about it, and they'll be curious to see how this affects all of us for our bottom lines. So we go out there to buy Mac software, especially through the Mac App Store, to see where the pricing shifts. Only time can tell how this is going to to play out. But one company that's really known for doing bundles is he is of the more pessimistic type. He's more worried about it than excited. So only time will tell. I think this could actually be good for all of us in the long run. I think it's going to drive prices down, but the only time will tell. Hey, Google is basically, and I don't know if we talked about this in the last show, and if I did, I apologize. I don't remember covering this. But on Thursday of last week, Google basically told Facebook, hey, if you're going to basically allow your users to suck data out of Gmail into your database to help people get connected, You're going to have to give us quid pro quo. You're basically going to have to let us pull data from Facebook back in into our system. So it's going to be this two-way deal. We're not just going to allow you to do a one way anymore. So Google basically shut the door on Facebook on Thursday, blocking the Gmail import. Now, here's what's big about this. Now, if you really think about the strategy that Google has employed here, 176 million monthly users are from Google are logging into Facebook, okay? Now, if you think about that, those 176 million monthly users are cross-indexing their friends among Facebook's 500 million members. So with Facebook being the 800-pound gorilla here, and the rumor on the street that Google is about ready to come out with their own social media platform called Google Me, could mean where Google is just trying to play their hand here and trying to be able to pull that data back in so that they're able to, for a better word, fill their coffers with information. So I don't know what's going to happen with this, if Facebook's going to play ball or not. But I would imagine, if you haven't done it already, you're probably no longer going to be able to suck in your Gmail contacts into Facebook because of this policy change based on Google basically throwing a roadblock up to Facebook. And I think this was smart of Google. It really was, because, you know, all that data is going into Facebook and nothing's coming out. And I actually got, have you heard about, I think it's called Lame Book? And I'll have the link up my show notes here, but I was someone told me about this website. I hope I got it right, lamebook.com. All I can say is very funny, and it just shows how people are not very smart about what they're putting in their Facebook updates from a privacy standpoint. And a lot of fun stuff's being said on the website at, I believe, at lamebook.com. So if I got that wrong, I'm sorry, but I'm pretty sure that's the address. I don't know why it just dawned on me, but I was reading through some of the posts and I was like, oh my goodness. And a lot of good, maybe some good things there for your kids to pay attention to from a safety standpoint as well. Kids talking about their parents talking about their kids and vice versa, and girlfriends and all kinds of, and talking about their bosses and all kinds of crazy stuff. So anyway, I'll see if I can have that. If I double check, make sure that link's right, and I'll put it in the show notes. Hey, Windows Phone 7 has went on sale today, and even though people weren't busting the doors down to pick these up either at T-Mobile or AT&T today, retailers said that the buying of the new phone was very strong. There was no comment from either carrier today on basically what the volume was. But here's some interesting stats. If you are an app developer, this might be a good time to consider doing a Windows Phone 7 app. Windows Phone 7 customers today will have access to nearly 2,000 apps and games in the marketplace. That's double the 1,000 apps goal that Microsoft set in early October. Of course, that number pales in comparison to the Android market, which has about 100,000 and 300,000 on the Apple App Store. But it's always good to be early. And if there's only a couple of thousand apps, you know there's still going to be a huge number of phones sold throughout the world. This might be a place to drop an app right now. You know, get in early. It's always, always good. Those of you that have got Google TV in your homes have picked up either the Sony Blu-ray player, picked up the Logitech device. You know that there's been a workaround where now for the last week or so you've been able to go to Fancast.com and you've been able to access NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, and some other stations as well. But Google today shut down Fancast.com, so no longer will you be able to get access to those. So the battle continues, and Google's trying to play nice at this point. But if you're getting in through that back door, has been shut down. Now Symbian, of course, Nokia has taken control, and this is something that's new. It was announced today. Nokia has retaken control of the Symbian software. You may remember that. It was, a couple of years ago where Nokia bought the Symbian operating system, and they had given this to the open source community, and it was being managed by a nonprofit foundation. So basically, I don't know how they could just take the software back, but anyway, what's going on here now is the foundation will be all they're going to do is do the licensing for the software, and Nokia is going to take over the development on it. So, you know, Nokia's in between a rock and a hard place. They really, really are. You know, they've got some good phones out there, but they're really locked into this infrastructure, the Symbian infrastructure. So we'll see what happens where they make some moves with their phones. Of course, you know, they've done some deployment on some different operating systems as well, but definitely a little bit of shakeup in the Symbian space from Nokia today. So we'll keep an eye on that. If you are flying on the following airlines, Delta, Virgin America, AirTran, between November 20th and January 2nd. Man, carry on your laptop, folks, because some sponsorship dollars have come in from Mountain View. Google is offering in-flight Wi-Fi free to holiday travelers flying on those three airlines. So again, between November 20th and January 2nd, Delta, Virgin America, and AirTran. If you fly on any one of those airlines and you use that Wi-Fi, send me a report. Do a speed test. I want to hear how well it works when a lot of people are using it for free. Hey, over in the UK, a hacker has attacked the British Navy website and basically defaced it and were able to get access to some administrator passwords with a SQL injection attack. So another one bites the dust, and the Brits have gotten some egg on their face and busted into them. This was after last month, a lot of focus on security on their government sites, but they were able to get in. It just goes to show you that hackers determined are going to continue to bust doors down and getting into servers that they're not supposed to be into. Now, in the most weird story of the night, and I had to read through this two or three times to really kind of get an idea of what's going on with what Verizon's planning to do. And I'm still scratching my head a little bit here. I understand what they're going to do, but check this out. You know that Verizon is going to be rolling out LTE in 36 or 37 cities before the end of the year. Of course, LTE stands for long-term evolution. They plan on having all of the areas that currently have 3G converted to LTE or moved over to have LTE available by 2013. But what they're trying to figure out is with this high demand for video content, they're trying to figure out how they're going to move this, because really LTE is designed just the same as almost as EVDO is from it's designed to move data. So what they're going to do is, you remember, Verizon was able, Verizon was able to buy through the government auction a huge spectrum of bandwidth. You know, they spent billions of dollars to buy that spectrum. So what they're going to do is they're going to take, let's say, 85% of it, and they're actually going to commit that to, and again, this is just an example. I don't know what the extra percentages are going to be, but they're going to commit 85% of that spectrum, as an example, to the actual data, the LTE protocol. They're going to take the other 15%, and they're actually going to use that as a broadcast. They're actually going to transmit video, as would a TV company. So in other words, they're going to send video via a broadcast means over the remaining amount of spectrum. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but you think about that. Okay, so they're going to broadcast programming on that remaining spectrum. First of all, that's going to upset the cable, all the incumbent broadcast people that gave up all that bandwidth, all that spectrum to move from analog into the digital space. And now Verizon's going to use part of that to compete with them. But how many of you want to use your phone to watch television programming? And how much really programming can they put on that? You're not going to be able to get Geek News Central over that broadcast, but you'll probably be able to get Fox or CNN or MSNBC or whoever else they partner with. But does it really make sense to put broadcast video in part of their use part of their spectrum to move that? You know, they say, of course, broadcasting requires less capacity per user. If I can send out one signal and service 1,000 people, you know, it's a good use of the spectrum. But how many people are actually going to do that? You know, Flow TV has, not been that successful, where people have not really jumped on the, you know, getting TV on their cell phones. or on a mobile device. I just don't know. I just know how this works out. But it is interesting to think, to talk about, or to observe what they're going to do. Now, eventually what they're going to do is they will, within about 10 years, hopefully they'll have all the EVDO networks down and be transitioned completely to LTE. But it is an interesting move by the folks at Verizon to think about dedicating a portion of that available frequency spectrum to actually broadcast video. So we'll see. Hey, I would recommend here over the next couple of weeks, if you're an Internet Explorer user, to not be using IE unless you're using the beta of IE9. If you're using the beta of IE9, you're safe. But there's a new unpatched IE bug out there that is really a nasty one. And there's actually a zero-day kit where some hackers are selling this a package, basically for $100 or so, people can download this package and then set this up across a variety of websites. And when you drive by one of these websites, bam, they got you. They own your machine. So stay away from Internet Explorer for the next couple of weeks. Microsoft is warning people that the attackers are targeting Internet Explorer with an explicit exploit of a critical unpatched vulnerability. And they may be doing because it's not going to be patched on Patch Tuesday, they may do an out-of-sequence update for all versions of IE, except for IE9. So time will tell here if they're able to get this, but this is a nasty one, and everyone's warning people about it, so be careful out there on this one, okay? Hey, the TSA today banned toner and ink cartridges on planes. So if you're going to be flying and you're going to go somewhere with a printer, the U.S. has banned toner and ink cartridges from passenger aircraft in the wake of last month's bomb plot. And the printer cartridge ban affects cartridges over 16 ounces. Okay. This is 16 ounces right here. So I don't think you have ink cartridges bigger than this. So if you're shipping a small printer with a small ink, I don't think you've got anything to worry about. But yeah, 16-ounce printer cartridges. Interesting. How big of a printer would that have to be? That'd be like a commercial one, right? I guess they're thinking more on the laser printers and so forth, maybe. Hey, a big win on the Creative Commons front today. A Belgian court has ruled that violating Creative Commons is subject individuals to copyright infringement. There was a case that was tested out there recently, so good to go on that, and that's a big win for the Creative Commons folks as well. I want to look over here, and Miss Small Biz says, hey, Todd, still got GoDaddy promo codes? GoDaddy having a sale on SSL? Hey, you know what? Go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. I've got an SSL code over there for you to save you a lot of money. Miss Small Biz saw that on chat, so I thought I would respond. In regards to that article, again, a huge win for the Creative Commons. And, of course, we haven't really had any precedent-setting cases in the United States yet, but it is to see that it's being supported internationally. All right, so, you know, I've had a couple of patents. Actually, Raw Voice has had a couple of patents in play for a while, and we've had some, you know, difficulties getting those patents through, and it's just one of those things. It's very hard to get a patent issued today. But the patent office has made it harder to reject patents for what they're calling is the obvious rule. So it just gets it's still crazy on what's going on over there. So the patent office is approving patents at really this huge rate, and they really tried to increase the amount of approvals and the ones basically going through. But they issued new guidelines that effectively make it much harder for the examiners to reject a patent claim as obvious. And for years, one of the biggest problems the patent office has had that it's approved all kinds of obvious intentions as patentable. So, patents are only supposed to be given for things that are both new and non-obvious. But for the most part, reading from the article here at TechDirt, it says that examiners have focused solely on the new part as determined by prior art and effectively ignored whether or not it was obvious to those skilled in the art. In other words, we're going to get a lot more patents that probably a little bit shaken whether they should be approved or not. So we'll see what happens. But the new guidelines delete 4 of the tests. So now we're just down to 3 tests for obviousness, and which significantly limits the likelihood that examiners will reject patents as obvious. In other words, is it obvious that I can drink water out of this bottle? Yes, it's obvious that I can. Should I be given a patent just because I'm able to do that? It'll be easier for people to get a patent when they're able to, you know, because of this new ruling. So we'll see how this affects the lawsuit rate for patents out there. All right, let's talk about the Hadron Collider. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, is all I can really say here. All right, we've known this has been coming for a while, but what they want to do is they want to do some mini Big Bangs. Do we really know what the Big Bang, how many or how large the Big Bang was that started really the creation of the universe? Well, I don't think anyone was around for that. At least I'm not familiar with anybody. So what they're going to do is that this new process will involve shooting lead ions through the 17-mile-long collider and accelerating them to a relativistic speed before colliding them head-on with protons. According to popular wisdom, this should cause an explosion resulting in the creation of brand spanking new particles. It says, although similar experiments have been conducted on a much smaller scale, this will be the first time scientists have attempted to accurately recreate conditions exactly like the Big Bang. I think if they really are successful, we won't even know what happened. I think it'll just happen so fast, we'll all be just like, poof. You know, this makes you wonder, what created the Big Bang before? You know, was it some guys that were, you know, billions of years ago that were messing around with a Hadron Collider? Hey, there's a great article over on Geek News Central that contributing writer Jeffrey Powers wrote about an experience he's had recently in Best Buy. And we all know that everyone that works at Best Buy is highly trained, and they to date on the most accurate stuff for the technology out there. I think you'll get a kick out of this article that he wrote up, basically his experience in going in to buy a Roku. And if you want to make sure you get a Roku and you get the right device, just go to Roku.com and buy it online. Jeffrey had a little bit of challenge in a couple of Best Buys recently that left him pretty disgusted. And actually, sales clerk's trying to lead him down the golden brick road and buying something that would not have really have suited the purpose that he was looking for. Okay, let's go ahead and talk about, you guys remember those movies from those old-fashioned movies from the early 1900s where people were trying to demonstrate flying machines? Well, over on Gawker, at Gawker.com, over the weekend, Red Bull held what they called a flug tag contest for homemade humid-powered flight machines down in Sydney, Australia over the weekend. So a lot of people created all kinds of interesting flying devices. They had a nice launch pad, and the ensuing images here look a lot like videos that were taken in the early 1900s. People have not learned a lot in the last 100 years or so on how to develop very successful flying machines that are either human-powered or glided. And some folks gave their college a try, and I think you're going to get a good kick out of most of these images. Needless to say, a lot of people got wet because they launched off a platform that went straight into the water. So I'm sure you'll get a smile out of it. Hey, if you're a Bloglines user, Bloglines is getting a reprieve as well. Of course, Bloglines is owned by Ask.com. Apparently, it's being taken over by Merchant Circle. I have no idea who they are, so it looks like that Bloglines will survive its doomsday countdown of December 1st, so it looks like they're going to be online for a while. All right, let's talk about LimeWire. LimeWire has been resurrected by a top-secret development team. You guys know that last month, the LimeWire client was effectively outlawed in the United States after a U.S. federal judge granted a request from the RIAA to shut down the software. Not even a month later, it's back. And apparently, someone got a hold of the source code and made all kinds of modifications to it, not tying it back to LimeWire servers, taking all the ads out of it, and now you are able to get a very, I guess, a much more refined LimeWire client. So LimeWire's back. This is interesting. So if you are a LimeWire fan and you've been using that as a file sharing client, it is available again, available for download. Of course, there are a lot of other alternatives available, but this secret dev team remained focused on reanimating the lifeless corpse of LimeWire, and it's now available for all of your utilization, okay? Boxy. Boxy's on the hunt for more cash. Look like they're going to get it. $10 to $13 million is what they're looking for. Of course, the Boxy box ships on November 10th. I have mine pre-ordered, waiting for it to be arrived in Honolulu by the time I get home. So they haven't picked up a Boxy box. I think at this point, knowing what I've seen so far on Google TV, and if you've got $300 that you're going to spend, go the Google TV route at this point, I think. I think it's still going to be, in the long run, it'll be the winner. But we've got, obviously, apps on the Boxy, and definitely want to see how those perform. So I'm excited to get in the Boxy box, and hopefully what we're going to see is we're going to be tracking it real close. I'm going to be able to tell you within about the first week of these things being delivered what kind of an impact from a viewership standpoint, how it's affecting people watching this show and other folks' content on our network. So I'm really excited about seeing the Boxy box roll out. There's quite a few apps available for it, but they still are missing some of the big boys like Hulu and so forth. So only time will tell on that. All right, if you're going to go rob a house, don't log into the person's computer. Don't log into your MySpace account on the individual's house that you're robbing. A Florida teen's been arrested for burglary after he left himself logged into his MySpace account at the scene of the crime. Boy, that boy has some serious smarts on him, doesn't he? Hey, Cassini is offline until November 24th. Cassini's put itself into safe mode after they notice an issue with some onboard system. This is about the seventh time this has happened since Cassini's been launched. The mission managers don't seem to be too concerned. They say that they're relatively sure that they'll have no serious long-term effects on the overall mission. So, but anyway, it's in safe mode right now until they figure out what's going on and be able to bring Cassini back online. Hey, you know, the last show I was really psyched to be able to watch the Discovery launch, and I actually thought I had missed it. I was watching something with Google News. And I had actually thought, and I don't know if I mentioned on the last show, but I actually thought Discovery had actually launched based on some stuff I had read. And lo and behold, of course, yesterday, I'm logging through the Science News, and Discovery's delayed until November 30th. And I don't know how I got led down the path that the Discovery had actually launched, but she's still on the pad. They're lucky that it didn't launch, because they found a crack that was under some ice on the main tank. And they felt that when the launch happened, this ice could have easily fell off. They don't say exactly what could have been the end result, but anytime there's a crack in the tank, external tank, with that much fuel on board, cannot be good. So, scary stuff, but they'll be able to repair it and make sure your eyeballs get a little big to think about a crack in one of those tanks. But anyway, good that Discovery did not take off. And that wasn't even the issue. They found this post-defueling. So, pretty scary stuff. Hey, fellas. A study has come out that I think we all can understand. Keep your laptops off your lap. If you and your wife are, just keep your laptops off your lap. If you and your wife are working on a new addition to the family, I guess I'll put it that way. I think we all knew this study was probably not needed to spend any money on it, but a big scientific study was done. And heat is not good, folks. Let's move on here. Hey, there's a pretty good article over on makeuseof.com, and I've actually, this one here has made it to my primary reading list, daily reading list. But this is an article that's talking about how to embed subtitles to MP4 and FLV videos using a program called AVDemux. It's cross-platform. It's a video editor, and it's a pretty simple one. It works with on Windows, Mac, Linux, and BSD. And you can compress with this. You can add subtitles and so forth. It looks to be a pretty cool little video editing program. So I have a link up in the show notes on that. You can definitely check it out. All right, Time Warner. You guys a Time Warner customer? I am. So what they're rolling out is, and we've actually had this in Honolulu for a while, but they're rolling this out nationwide. I didn't know it wasn't available nationwide already. But you guys know when you have your DVR and you record a video, you can fast forward through stuff, right? So that's, you know, the best way to watch content on television today, right? But this look back feature allows you to go back 2 or 3 days and actually get content that was on a variety of networks, not all of them. And if you missed it, you can actually say, oh, I missed my show last night. You can use the look back feature to go back and find the program and then play it on demand. The only issue is there's no fast-forwarding with this, and the ads are still embedded. So this is being rolled out to customers in New York, New England, North Carolina, South Wisconsin, parts of Texas. And again, there's some limitations on it, no fast-forwarding or so forth, but that will be coming to your marketplace pretty shortly. Hey, good article or good podcast over on the Zune Insider. The Zune Insider Podcast 93 talks about the Kinect, and I'm far enough into the show that my sister called me on Saturday, and she said, Todd, do you have an Xbox? And you guys know that I bought an Xbox 360 a month and a half ago, and we don't have a lot of games, right? Only I think I got one game for it, because I've been using it as a media extender instead of a gaming box, where we're really, as a family, heavily invested in the Wii. And she says, I was able to get you a Kinect kit. Do you want it? And do you think that would be a good Christmas gift for the kids? I'm like, yeah, because you really, if you haven't pre-ordered them, you're not going to get one. So she's going to be, the kids are getting a Kinect for Christmas. I hope the kids don't watch my show. And how many of you picked up a Kinect? How many of you have used it already? I'm kind of interested to hear your feedback on it, whether you've got one or not. But on the Zune Insider podcast, it's podcast 93. They talk about the Kinect launch, the Windows Phone 7 launch, and a Zune promotion as well. So I have this linked up in the show notes. My good friend Rob Greenlee is the host over there. Definitely check it out. I have the link up to it in the show notes. Okay, there's an article that didn't load. I think that's it for tonight. This is, I guess I don't need to talk about this, but I do have some, we're good time here. All right, I have two voicemails. I have not previewed these already, so I don't know what's actually on these. Have some emails as well. If you've got comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. All right, let me go ahead and clear this. First one may not be a voicemail. We'll see if it's an advertisement. The other one's 2 minutes and 24 seconds. Well, I haven't reviewed either of these, so we'll see what we get here as a surprise. And those of you that have been up on Ustream tonight, has the audio been loud enough? I guess that's the question. Does it sound low or high tonight? Love to hear it in the chat. Okay, here we go on the first voicemail. Okay. Uh-huh. All right, I guess there was nothing on that one. It was just blank here. Okay, here comes the second one.
Hey, everybody. This is Valiant886. And, excuse me, I got an answer for the question about any alternatives to Google 411.
Oh.
And I found one by accident, and I don't know if it's free or not. So if anybody finds out, that would be great. Anyway, it's Bing 411.
Oh.
I find that kind of funny, but because Google and Bing, and they both had 411s, I don't know how new the Bing one is, but that would be 1-800-246-4444. 4411, I think. And I think it's better than the Google one because you can get driving directions and everything else with it, and you could have them text it to your cell phone, stuff like that. I like it. My only complaint with it is that its voice is not quite as intelligible to me as the Google 411's voice was. And for those of you like Todd who never tried it, the Google one had a male voice, and I found it very intelligible with my hearing aid. So, so anyway, the Microsoft or Bing one, whatever you want to call that, I do not know if it's free, but you could give it a try and see if that works. You can even you can tell it where your home is, give your address, and if you want driving directions to some certain place, you can get it to figure out where you're wanting to go, and it wants to know where you want to start from, and you can say home, and that will start at the house. And Todd, if I didn't mention it already, Google 411 was free, and I think they removed it, Google that is, removed it because it was only an experiment. They were gearing up for putting the voice application on the Android phones, I do believe. That is the explanation that they gave on the website. And I don't remember what the website is. Here, I'd tell you guys. Anyway, thanks. Yeah, pretty good show. Talk to you later.
Hey, thanks for calling in. I'm sorry I didn't catch your name at the beginning of the call. It went really quick, but thanks for calling in and giving us that information. That's perfect. That's absolutely what the Ohana is there for, with the with the team behind the show. And thanks for being one of the listeners and getting us all lined up on where we can get good 411 service, just as as a replacement to the Google 411. So let me go ahead here and. For those of you on Ustream, I know the audio is a little weak, and part of it is the travel mixer that I'm with. It just doesn't have enough, horsepower to push the audio level that I need over that box without really overdriving it. So thanks for being patient with it. And again, this is obviously a road setup, and when we get back to Honolulu, we won't have this issue anymore. But thanks for being patient tonight and having to crank the audio up. Now, I did see someone say they're watching me on iTouch. That's actually good news, because that must mean the folks at Ustream, are re-encoding me and making the show available on the iTouch. So very, very nice. I didn't know that was up and available. And if someone has an actual iPad handy, go load the live.geeknewscentral.com up and see if you can if you get the video feed. Appreciate it. Hey, I got an email here from Thomas. He says, Todd, I hate to ask this again, but when I asked the first time, I never got a response or missed hearing it. Is there any way possible to play your video feeds on the WDTV Live Plus? WDTV. Okay, someone maybe in the audience can save me here. Let me paste in and do a quick search, if I can do a quick search. What is WDTV? Western Digital TV. Oh, I don't know if we got an answer to that or not. And I'm not familiar with the Western Digital TV platform, Tom. I'm really not. So he says, I tried adding your video feed to Mediafly.com so I could watch it that way, but your MP4 video files are too big for my DSL modem to stream them like it should. Well, yeah, that is a challenge, because this show is so long and that file is so big. I know it is a challenge, Tom. I'm going to have to suggest maybe I'm at some point here, I'm going to have to make an additional encode of the show to have a little smaller a video file to make available via a different feed. But I'm really not that up to speed on WDTV, and maybe someone that is has one of these units in their house can give me some feedback. Maybe we can get Thomas so he can watch the video. Thomas, DSL, go on cable if you've got it, my friend. Then you have plenty of bandwidth. I know that's not an option for everyone. Got an email here from Scott. He said, "Hey, Todd, I've been subscribing and listening to your podcast and have been researching using podcasts, wrote my budding one-man business as a web developer slash hosting company here in Nashville. I hear you talk about your sponsors and you promote their products. I'm curious about sponsors and if they help fund your travels. Can you enlighten me how I can utilize sponsor to help fund my endeavors if indeed they do this? I enjoy your show and have inspired me to continue my passion to have a quality podcast to bring information about my field of knowledge to the public. I look forward to your response. And seriously, Scott." Scott, to be honest with you, when you're starting out, until your show gets big enough, your sponsor probably will not fund your travel. Unless you can get them to go, like I know Jeffrey and Andy have went to some special HP events where HP's basically footed the bill for them to go to those events. There are times when a sponsor will do that. So that's the best way for someone that's just getting started. If you want to attend a special event to get the sponsor to pay for the travel and they help keep your expenses down. Believe me, going to CES is a huge undertaking. We spent a lot of money, a big, big money. And I'm already well into five digits on stuff that I've laid out on my credit card for this year's show. So, yes, the sponsorships, help me recoup the cash that I lay out for that show. And so for as far as this show goes and what I do on a, week-to-week basis, my sponsors keep my light bill on. They really do. They keep my light bill on. They keep my family fed and a house over the top of us. And obviously, I'm a retired military person, so that helps out too. I have my military requirement that really supplements a huge amount to our income. But really, get your show started, get going, get known, put out good content. And believe me, the sponsors will come. And it sounds like you're going to be doing a tech show. So, definitely apply to have your show listed over at techpodcast.com. We'd love to have you. Got to have 7 shows in the bag before you can become a member. But feel free to come over. And we've always can get you hooked up right away with some of the sponsors we have. With a variety of campaigns. So I hope that answered your question, but good luck with your show. And I know you're going to do good. Just be passionate about it. Got an email here from Trucker Tom. He said, "Hey, Todd, celebs beware. New Pandora's box of personal drones that could stalk anyone from Brangelina, I don't know who that is, to your own child." He said they could put your mind at ease or do very much the opposite. He says a new arms race is on, and it could change everything from the way we parent or how we get our celebrity gossip. For technology currently being used by some government agencies to ferret out terrorist leaders in the hills of Pakistan is set to arrive in a neighborhood near you, and there's nowhere to hide. And what this is are these mini little remote-controlled vehicles, and they carry a camera on board, and they can fly around. And remember, these little personal drones, which we've seen at CES in years past, have been pretty popular, but now they're ramping these things up, and police departments are using them to actually use them for, police department type activities. And we also know that some police officer departments are starting to buy UAVs as well. So I got a good article here from Trucker Tom on that. I'll see if I can find the link back. But, we're moving more into a surveillance society, Tom. That's for sure. Got an email here from Jack. He says, "Todd, I don't think NASA or the U.S. government will see any monetary payback for the cost of the space station, much like they didn't see any payback for the cost of the 1960 race to the moon. But there was a huge payback to society with technology like medical sensing diagnosis and imaging advances, the creation and advancement of integrated circuits, microprocessors, mainframe computers, list goes on, but we Americans got back much more than we put in." So I guess, Jack, what I was trying to say in that last show when I asked about NASA getting monetary payback, I should have said, will the American people see a payback from what's being done on the International Space Station? So I probably should have worded my question more clearly. Jack goes on to say, "Space exploration is like putting money in research and development. We may hit another home run or we may get nothing back. We will never know if we don't explore. We are explorers and curious about what is out there. That is what we do. It's not easy to put a value or it's worth it or is it worth it number on our intrinsic nature." Jack, I completely agree. And of course, we know that advances done through the everything that was done in the Apollo time frame really led to a lot of revolution in computing and like you said, microprocessors and mainframe computers. So agree with you completely on your statement. Got an email here from Barry on the backscatter body scanning. He says, hey, Todd, you may be interested in below. Barry, I have a link up in the show notes for this. You guys can check it out. This is an article that was put up on techtarget.com, and I have the article. It basically talks about the back scanning. So I'm just being honest with you, folks. The more and more I read about this thing, the more and more I get a little bit nervous about ever walking through one of these things again. Okay, well, that's going to wrap it up for today's show. We're here at about an hour, 14, hour and 15 already. Thanks for hanging with me. Thanks for staying subscribed to the show. Thanks for being part of the family. It's greatly appreciated. Those of you that are watching on the live stream tonight, thanks for hanging with me. I'll hang out with you a little bit after the show and talk with you in chat. But it's been my pleasure to bring you another episode of the Geek News Central podcast. Show number 625 is in the bag here, folks. And consider becoming an insider and helping out the show at geeknewscentral.com/insider. And, of course, your ongoing support of all our sponsors is greatly appreciated. And, again, it helps me keep the lights on and do what I do. But thanks for being here and being part of the family. That's the most important part of this whole episode and this entire show. So until next time, until we see you Thursday, I'm going to start around 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time again. Feel free to join me live if you want. Don't worry, we'll always have the show up available for you to download shortly afterwards. But until next time, everyone take care and aloha.